You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this special live broadcast from Radio Primavera Sound Studio here at the Forum. It is with great pleasure I introduce to you Mrs. Marisa Dabis, a.k.a. Missy from Mannequin Pussy.
Hola, hola.
A.k.a. La Pussy que mana. Learn that, because this is a very famous Catalan saying by one of Catalonia's biggest
Pussy
pop
que mana?
La Pussy que mana is like the pussy that owns this shit.
Oh. You know,
the boss pussy.
Okay, yes, that's exactly what we are.
Yeah.
And what I am. Again, I feel like an animal at the zoo. They are crowding us right now.
Yeah.
We think it's secure. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
Do you think they could break down the glass?
No, this glass is thick.
Yeah, you can't hear people through it, sadly.
Can they hear us right now?
Yeah.
There's a loudspeaker.
Oh, okay. Hi, everyone.
This is...
Hi.
You're still,
how's everyone doing?
We can see you're still glowing from having performed about 15 minutes ago or
Thank
something.
You.
How did you feel the set at this year's Primavera?
I felt great. I mean, my in-ears were a little wild, so I heard strange things. But, you know, you just stay in the moment and you do the best you can.
Yeah.
And the crowd was so beautiful, so animated, so alive. It's everything I love about playing festivals, is the chaos.
And because you're playing such a recent album, a lot of your recent album, which is fantastic, one of the albums of the year, I might add, I Got Heaven. Are you still in that phase where you're still, like, remembering parts and stuff and you can't fully enjoy the show because you're thinking? Or?
No, it's fully locked in. I know it. We 4 days ago, we finished a 7-week US tour.
Yeah.
So I know what's going on.
A 7-week tour of the US?
I'm so tired.
You don't look it. You're glowing, as I say.
Thank you so much.
How do you manage? How do you keep it up when you have such a long US tour and next is Europe and festivals where your energy has to be so...
In the US, or at least on that tour, I was just horrifically boring.
Really?
Yeah. The show would end. I didn't drink at all. I didn't really smoke at all. You don't night eat. That's another thing that's really bad for your voice. I was just so obsessed with being as on as possible because those American shows we did were the biggest shows we've ever done. Every single show was sold out on the entire tour. So it was just this monumental thing for us. And I was just approaching it from this place of, I want to be at the top of my game every single night. And then that tour ended and 4 days later I'm here in Spain and I'm just like, I need to drink. I need to have a cerveza. I need a little bit of vino. I need to do something to just take off the edge because I'm so tired and I want to have fun.
Yeah,
fair.
You know, it's just so much.
But it's nice because you got an early-ish kind of slot. So you've still got,
got blessed with this spot.
Yeah.
Because the first time we played Primavera, it was 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah, those late slots.
Yeah, late
slots. And it's packed.
But still thousands of people.
Yeah.
But a 7:45 slot.
Yeah, because now you can enjoy the rest of the evening.
Yeah.
Do you have anything on your
list? Oh, I intend to. I want to see... Oh, I'd love to see Amel and the Sniffers right now, but we're chilling.
Mm.
We're talking.
Mm.
I love them.
I'm sorry.
We played some shows together in the US and we're buddies now.
Yeah.
So I love them. But I want to see Justice at 1:45 in the morning.
Mm.
100%. I want to see The Armed at 2. Hola. There are so many people coming up to these windows right now.
They loved it. Look at the glow in their eyes as well. Yeah. Everyone's glowing.
Everyone is glowing after the Mannequin Pussy set.
You can't fake love like that.
Yeah. And speaking of this taking care of voices, because Amy from Amel and the Sniffers, she's had to take care of her voice today because, they're on tour and she has a bit of exhaustion in her voice. So professionally, have you ever had to face one of those things where you're halfway through a tour and all of a sudden you're like, damn, I'm almost hoarse.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you do? What's the procedure?
I think this is the worst thing about being a singer is just, again, how horrifically boring it makes you. Because everything that is fun is bad for your voice.
Yeah.
Just fucking talking is bad for your voice.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to swear on this?
Yeah.
Love radio. you guys are nothing like the BBC.
No.
Who won't even say pussy, by the way.
What do they call you, though?
Mannequin pee. Isn't that fucking ridiculous?
What about, you could just say it's a pussy cat.
Yeah,
why can't, why? I would love if they would say just mannequin party. Mannequin pussy. make a little Spanish.
How about mannequin pus?
Gross.
Yeah, but no. you know.
Well, like puss in boots.
Mannequin puss.
Mannequin puss in boots.
But no, they say mannequin pee, which I think is horrific.
Oh God, they're so.
And we're playing. Anyway, whatever. We were talking about The Voice, and so the thing about being a singer is that you're very. You do really kind of owe something to the audience. Like they're there to hear you. And you want to be able to give them 100% every single night, but it is actually very unrealistic to feel like you can be at 100% every single night when you're talking about a tour that is weeks and weeks and weeks long. Like there are days where you're gonna feel like a shell of yourself. There are days where you're gonna be so tired and you don't want anyone to see you and you feel like your voice just can't make it. But you kind of, on that US tour, it's like, alcohol is like one of the worst things you can do for your voice. Mm. Smoking is one of the worst things you can do for your voice. Just fucking talking. And then a night eating.
So that's what, like, because kind of, it generates lots of phlegm or something?
Yeah,
like
if you when you eat at night.
Before going to bed.
You, the reflux will come up and it'll tear away at your vocal cords. Isn't that bullshit?
That's horrible.
And so like, one of my favorite things is like housing a cheeseburger at 2 a.m.
Yeah. So you finish a gig and you can't eat.
No.
Oh, great.
That sucks.
Yeah, so I finished 7 weeks of being this pure, beautiful angel, doing it really well, and now I just, I can't, I need my mind, you know.
It's Primavera Sound.
Exactly. Cheers.
Do you have something you do, like, if you kind of are feeling, like, down or tired or whatever, and you got a gig coming up, is there something you can do that just makes you, like, kind of get into it?
No, not really, honestly. It's like, you just... I will say, though, like, the band dynamic of everyone between Mannequin Pussy is really one of very real love and pure love.
Yeah.
Like, we like to say all the time that we've never fucked each other. It is a very pure group creative friendship between us all.
Yeah.
With no romance. But we just, like, being around them does lift me up.
Yeah.
Because if I'm having a hard day, I can talk to them.
Yeah,
and we can be there to, and we know each other so well that we can just see if someone is in a mood where they need something more.
Yeah. I think you're the anti Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, honestly, Mannequin Pussy is absolutely like a band that's like, we've never fucked, we never will.
Never blow cocaine up, and, you know. Anyway,
well that.
No, something. But speaking of intimate relations, I mean, there's a lot of. It's your latest record, I Got Heaven. It is a randy record. There's a lot of horniness going on. Yeah, there's and it's a record that would be good for like a, you know, spending an afternoon being very intimate with someone special.
You think you could put on that record and make out with someone to it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's special.
Yeah. Maybe have some Sade lined up for after. Or
like a Radiohead in Rainbows.
In Rainbows, for me, Tom York doesn't do it for me.
What?
I love it. I love him, but not for that.
In Rainbows is like one of my go-tos.
Maybe for after sex.
Interesting.
After sex, yeah, like House of Cards. It's like,
I think the lead up is actually,
you know,
quite
like the, you know, the tickling on the arm moment of like, oh, let's just lay here and smoke something. And that, yes. But when it comes to like, generating energy, you
would make out to our record?
Yeah.
That is the highest of compliments.
Yeah.
You would or you have?
Not there yet. But I have two small children. There's no, that's not happening. When? It's like, mommy, daddy, what are you doing? Bye-bye.
Ew, mommy. Ew, daddy. Ew.
I can't see.
And you're like, you don't even want to know how we made you.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there's a lot of heartbreak on this record as well, right? Or
actually, no. I disagree with this.
Okay.
I don't think there's a lot of heartbreak on this record. I think our third record, Patience, was absolutely a third. It was a heartbreak album. Mm. But I think I Got Heaven is what happens in the aftermath and the acceptance of that heartbreak. And when you've decided that you actually need to go a path that is solitary and alone. And it is just you and your loneliness and you and your relationship to yourself. Mm. And when you do commit to yourself in that way, where you're like, I need to spend time with myself to figure myself out, to figure my traumas and my hurts and my wounds and to work on the things that make me feel alive, eventually loneliness creeps in. Mm. Eventually that longing to be touched again creeps in. Eventually that horniness creeps in. And so that's why I think the record is very kind of horny in that way, because it's what happens within solitude, but in a very secure solitude. And a bit of the fantasy of what love and relationships are. But I don't think there's a lot of heartbreak on it. I think it's more just acceptance.
Yeah, that I think that's what I meant. Yeah, it's the post-heartbreak when,
yes,
when
exactly.
You're starting to heal and come out of your shell. How is it like when you go on these tours and, you know, you're a rock star and people are adoring you and stuff? Do you get depressed when you go back home and you gotta like restock your fridge and do your laundry? And
no, I love that. I actually, before we got back to, we live in Philadelphia.
Yes.
We got back to Philadelphia on a Sunday to play we played three home shows. We played on a Sunday, and in between soundcheck and doors, I went to the grocery store and then like went to my apartment to like stock up my fridge. I love that shit.
But, and what about the silence? Is it deafening? Like when you've been like—
I love the silence. If I'm driving around in my car alone, nothing.
No radio.
Drive around inside. Well, recently actually I've been listening to Tinashe's Nasty a lot in my car on loop. You know that song? I've been a nasty girl. I've been a nasty girl. You know that?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah. It's a hot song.
Uh-huh.
But
Tinashe.
Tinashe, yeah.
Tinashe, yeah, Tinashe.
But no, I love the silence. Because my life is so loud all of the time. And I'm constantly screaming and emoting and just like giving so much that in those moments that I get to be alone with myself and with those domestic aspects, that is actually what feels more exotic to me at this point. It feels more exotic to be alone in my own silence, making a meal for myself, than it does to be within the glow of what this world is.
Does it get lonely in the sense of you live a lifestyle which, if you have like a group of friends who, you know, they live in a city, they have their jobs, even if they're like all in creative industries or whatever, you know, you're away half the year or half the time.
Yeah.
Is it hard to maintain like a good social life?
Yeah, I think I've become much better and perhaps even very good at knowing how to be as present as possible for the people I love when I'm still far away.
Mm-hmm.
And like really leaning into those friendships in a way. But like I miss so much. Like I miss, on the last tour alone, I missed multiple friends, like big birthday celebrations, weddings. I miss my own grandfather's funeral.
Oh.
Like just crazy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
it's just like you are not able to get away from it. And so there is a real loneliness that creeps in, because even though you're surrounded by people and you're surrounded by noise all the time, you know that you're missing out on these other very, very deep aspects of what makes us all human and what makes us all feel very connected to each other. And it is those events, a lot of the things that like are the memories that people make. Mm. And so I just kind of watch them from afar a lot of the time.
Do you find people don't appreciate that about you, because they think, oh, you're in a band, must be brilliant all the time, you know, and they kind of don't appreciate that it is difficult and you do miss things and you kind of like quietness when you come back?
Yeah, I think I do think it's changing a little bit, where people are becoming a little bit more aware of just how strange, intense and lonely the touring lifestyle is.
Mm.
Where I think as musicians are being more honest about it, because I think like in the, you know, the 80s, 90s, 2000s, it was still this idea that touring is this excessive party lifestyle and you have a job where people applaud you every night and you have this adoration and this attention. But adoration and attention are fleeting things, you know? Mm. It's like your communities and your families that make you feel rooted and secure and loved. And it's a very lonely lifestyle. You know, that is one of the things actually I do love about festivals, is that it's like a strange high school reunion for
yeah.
us all.
Yeah.
With like people you actually like. You know, yeah. it's like I'll see friends in bands who I haven't seen for months or maybe years, but it's like, then you come together in this environment and it's really, and they're the people who also, they understand.
Yeah.
They understand yeah. this life and they understand how solitary and lonely it can really feel. And yeah, I mean, it is exciting and it is beautiful and it is like nothing else, but there's a, you know, every action has a reaction.
Yeah.
And music is very much that way.
I wanted to ask, because you played The Weeknder last year.
Yeah.
What did you make to the Robin Hood Robin Hood theme going on?
Absolutely one of the weirdest things I've ever been a part of.
It kind of amazing.
I loved it. I wish that there were more people in costume. I wish there were knights running. I wish that there had been people jousting during our set.
Yeah. You played in the jousting bit?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And if there had been people jousting or knights jousting each other, I would have loved that.
Yeah. Did you stick on the rider?
No.
Yeah, ask for it. Because there are, the horses are there.
Yeah.
We have to add, we have to add horses and knights to our rider. Yeah.
They sleep there. They have the stables.
Men fighting each other.
Yeah.
Also M&Ms.
You, at the beginning of the interview, you mentioned, you know, that having a sold out tour made you take extra care of yourself and work extra hard to make sure you were in perfect shape to deliver. So, and with this last record, I noticed that there's an ambition. Like all of a sudden, you've got this incredible perfect balance of going as punk as possible and okay. Did I say it right? But then you have like songs like I Don't Know You, which, you know, could reach a lot more people who might be a bit like, oh, punk's not my thing, but can reach a lot of people. So is there like an ambition for Mannequin Pussy to reach somewhere higher than that kind of indie alternative circuit?
I think that the ambition that lies within us is really about making the most beautiful song we can possibly make. Yeah. And for us, beauty lies in those extremes. Beauty lies in something like I Don't Know You that is like soft and sweet and pleading. And beauty also lies in something like Of Her that is aggressive and like in your face and so polarizing, you know? I think... And a lot of it, I think, really does have to do with, like, femininity in this way, where it's, like, because our band is mostly women as well, it's, like, we have this, we're so much more complicated than very often society allows us to be. And we have all these different sides of ourselves that we, like, want to show. And even, I mean, for Bear, who's a man, like, he's not allowed... In so many ways, like men are not allowed to express this vulnerability and this sadness and this heartbreak within them. And they're just supposed to be strong, right? Especially for black men. It's like they're supposed to be just strong and not admit those things. And I think to us, it's like, it just is that intention to find the beauty in every single one of those songs. And so, yeah, like an audience might not, you know, there's so many people who are like, oh, I like Mannequin Pussy for the soft stuff. I'm not really into the punk stuff, you know, like all of our moms. But like for us, I mean, again, yeah, there's beauty in all of that because there's beauty in the whole gambit of human emotions. Yeah. And that's what we want to express. And I hope that we get to, and I know like we want to go as soon as possible into like writing new music because there's just more percolating in us. There's more just that we just want to get out.
Well, Missy, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on Radio Primavera Sound. You're a band that you're already part of the Primavera Sound family tree, shall we say? You know,
thank you.
And we're gonna keep calling you back and back again as long as you keep wanting. If you keep wanting to come back.
Oh my gosh, this is a beautiful family to be a part of. Yeah, we love Primavera. I mean, like this was actually Primavera. Really was the first festival we ever played.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
In 2017. We played, I think, the same stage, but it was called the Pitchfork Stage back then.
Yes.
That was the first festival we ever played.
So, wow. Your history is tied with our lovely Absolutely. Little location here. I'm getting goosebumps.
Ooh, I'm getting flashed.
Well, Missy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You look fantastic, ready for a wonderful Thursday night like tonight. So please have all the fun that you want to have. This is all for you. Thank you for giving us so much.
Heck yeah.
Congratulations on all of your albums and on your trajectory. And we hope to see you very soon.
Thank you. We would love to come back anytime. Be an honor.
Count on it.